Over and over again in the life of Jesus. Jesus always called people to a higher standard, but he never condemned them when they fell short. You ever notice that? The only people that he ever really got on were the religious people. But those who were in sin, he called them to a higher standard. He was the ultimate encourager. You know, when you look at Scripture, there's no wonder why people flocked to be around Jesus, because he was the ultimate encourager. He was always cheering people. He was always saying, get back up. Let's try again. I believe in you. You can do it. And that's why people were constantly coming to hear him speak. Those who felt the least worthy, those who felt rejected by nearly everybody else in society, those are the ones that Jesus took time for. Those were the ones that felt the most loved and accepted by Jesus. I don't know if most outsiders feel this way about the church or not, if they feel like they can come and they can get close to Jesus and they can be loved. I'm going to guess that most people who are outside of Christ, most people who are outside of the church, one of the main reasons they don't come to church is because they feel like we're judgy. They feel like we are condemning. They feel like we're stuffy. They feel like we're hypocritical. I hear that sometimes. I'm not going to go to church. Church full of hypocrites. I say there's always room for one more. You know, that's my opinion. But it's encouraging to know that the characters in the Bible were real people. They struggled with real things. They faced the same things that we did. And so we're going to look at a passage of Scripture today where it sounds like the whole church had faded away. God looks at the church and he looks at us as individuals and he says, listen, you need to take your spiritual temperature. You need to see where you're at. You need to see the things that are important to God are the things that ought to be important to you. And so we as the church, we need to learn to reproduce disciples, and we need to understand that spiritual maturity is a bigger thing than just you. And I think that's where I have failed sometimes in my walk with the Lord. There are times I did this for way too long in my life where I felt like going to church and my walk with the Lord was all about me. I wanted to go to church and I wanted to hear the songs that I liked and I wanted the preacher to preach a feel-good sermon. I didn't want to walk away feeling condemned. I want to like what I like, and it's all about me. And when I really started to grow in my relationship with Christ is when I put myself out of the way and started to realize it's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ first and foremost, and it's about those people who don't know him yet. And our job here is to get to know him the best that we can, become the disciples that he wants us to be, so that we can reach those who are outside of Jesus. Those who, if they were to die today, would not go to heaven. It took me a while to figure that out. And I got to thinking, what if we double as a church? What if we grow to the point, numerically, where we did some of these magic things and we started to double as a church? Well, if we double what we are right now, what will that church look like? Not numerically. Spiritually speaking, if we reproduced, if we doubled in size what we are right now, what would we look like if we doubled? Would we just be a bigger number of people who maybe are struggling in this area or that area or whatever and aren't really disciples but are just kind of Sunday attenders? Or would we have some that are growing in discipleship? See, Jesus wants us to... there's a song that the cathedrals used to do. The Southern Gospel Quartet, the cathedrals, they had a song that went like this. What kind of church would my church be if every member were just like me? If the way that you are growing in your faith, if you double that, if you bring somebody else, you buy that extra chair and you fill it with a friend of yours and they start doing church like you do church and they start living their relationship with Jesus like you are you happy with that? Are you good with that? I hope you are. A lot of you can probably say, yeah, I'm good with that. But there's probably some of us that need to say, nah, I probably wouldn't be all that. That's not what I want for that friend of mine. I want them to do better. The writer of Hebrews, he hits on this. Listen to what he says. This is Hebrews 5:11. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, Though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truth of God's Word all over again. You hear what he's saying? He's saying, listen, you guys ought to be at the point in your spiritual walk where you're teaching other people, where you're discipling other people. But he's saying, you are the one, you still need to be taught. He goes on to say, you need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment, and God permitting, will do so. So what's the problem here? What's going on? This is just a fancy way of saying that the people in the church were not trying to understand what God was saying. See, he's writing to Christians here. And he's not saying they've given up on God. He's saying you've given up on moving forward in your relationship with God. You've given up on not becoming spiritual mature. You know, it's possible, because I've done this. It's possible to go to church every single weekend and no longer try to grow closer to Jesus. It's possible to play that game. I've played it. It's not a good game to play. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, you need to move past the elementary truth. You should know more than you do right now. Even though there were many mature believers among the Hebrews, there were some that still needed milk. There were some that still needed the bottle, so to speak. You're not ready for solid food, is what he's saying. You know? I don't know if you know this or not. I'm going to be a grandpa later this summer. Did everybody know that? I was going to bring pictures. I have pictures of him already. I was going to bring them, but you can tell he's part of our family, that's for sure, when you see the picture. But I'll let Nick and Macy take care of all that kind of stuff. But here's the deal. I'm never going to, well, I say I'm never. I'm going to try my hardest not to tell them how to raise that kid. Okay? What are you laughing about? I'm going to do my best. But I'm telling you right now, if he's in the fourth grade and he's still sucking on a bottle, we're going to have a problem. Right? That's not right. That's not the way it works. But here's what happens in the church. People who've been in the church 30, 35 years, they're still on milk. They're still infants. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, look, you should be on solid food right now. You should be off the bottle. You should be on steak. You need to grow up spiritually. You shouldn't get ticked off at the drop of a hat if someone says something you don't like. Someone hurts your feelings by saying something that, don't take it so personally. Anytime a preacher challenges you to do something out of your comfort zone, you totally ignore it, or you freak out every time someone has to wait on something for 2 extra minutes. You know, we act that way sometimes, and it's not very becoming to Jesus, right? If you want to stop acting out in a way that is unbecoming to Jesus, you got to get to know him. Author gives us some answers that I think are huge for us personally and as a church. Here's the first thing. God wants you to grow into spiritual maturity. You need to understand that. God wants this to happen. God wants you to grow spiritually. He doesn't want you playing the game. He doesn't want you being bottle fed after being a Christian for 30 plus years. Read Hebrews 6:1 with me, if you will. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity. How many of you want to be mature? Just be honest. How many of you want to be spiritually mature? Go ahead and raise your hand. Okay? I mean, it would be a waste of time for me to get up here and kind of step on your toes about this, right? Or rail on you for a little bit about how you need to grow spiritually if you didn't really want to do it. right? How mature does he want me to grow? The very same answer, if you ask yourself that question, how mature does he want me to grow? The very same answer is what you should give when you see your kids grow. How mature do you want your kids to grow? You want them to grow up and be responsible adults and act the way they're supposed to be and grow to full maturity? Absolutely. That's what God wants to see from you. We all, and I think we all want to mature. We all want the end result. We want to be mature. We want to be maturing. I think the problem is getting there. Wouldn't it be nice if we just like, we gave our life to Christ and we were baptized into Him and then just boom, we come up out of the baptistry and we're super mature Christian. We got everything right. Wouldn't that be awesome? Doesn't work that way. We all would like that, but we don't always like the process of what makes us mature. Would you agree with me on that? We want a deep faith, but we don't want the process. So we need to understand that there's some things that we need to do, and that's the second point. We need to stop trying so hard at doing all the right things and start training ourselves. Stop trying so hard and start training. Because here's the deal. If you are training yourselves the way that you should, you don't have to try so hard because your training produces the natural byproduct of being a mature Christian, of being a disciple. It just comes natural. It's a lot easier. If you look at verse 14 of our text, solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. This passage says that they trained themselves. And they were the ones responsible for the training. You notice that? It says they trained themselves. God didn't train them. Their preacher didn't train them. Their youth minister didn't train them. Their parents didn't train them. It says the ones that matured in their faith, they trained themselves. I think we sometimes, and I hear this all the time when people leave the church, oh, I'm not getting fed. Feed yourself. I mean, we help. We do what we can. You know, I think it's more like we're the seasoning on it. You know, the staff, we season the teaching or the food or whatever you want to say. But really, the writer of Hebrews is saying, you should train yourselves. And God's going to help along the way, but you need to train yourselves. Listen to what the Bible says about spiritual maturity and training. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. That's 1 Corinthians 9:25. And so we train. We train ourselves. We can't rely on someone to do it for us. 1 Timothy 4:7-8, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scriptures God breathed is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. If you want to be a disciple, you want to learn how to respond appropriately in ways that sometimes tick us off in public, train yourself. The training methods used to grow your faith are called spiritual disciplines. You need to discipline yourself. You need to practice these disciplines. Prayer, Bible reading. And the more we do this, the more we're able to bear fruit in our lives. You know, the spiritual fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Those things are going to be natural byproducts of our prayer and our Bible reading. A disciplined person is not someone necessarily who exercises a lot of discipline. That doesn't make any sense, does it? But it's true. A disciplined person is someone who can do the right thing at the right time, in the right way, with the right spirit. And that only comes by practicing, by training, by doing what God has called you to do. For example, Steph Curry, he makes tons of money playing basketball. He shoots about 200 three-pointers a day in practice. And when he gets in a game, he makes 40% of his three-pointers or more, which is very high in the NBA. Arguably the best shooter in the game. Maybe the best game the game has ever seen. But spiritually speaking, how does that equate to us? Don't go out and just calculate how many Bible verses you read. Don't just say, well, okay, I've spent my 15 minutes in prayer today, and then just move on. But use the Bible and use prayer as opportunities for God to speak to us. God wants to speak to you. And if you don't slow down long enough to talk to Him and read His Word and allow Him to speak into you, you're not going to hear what He's saying to you. So here's a couple of methods for training in any discipline. Here's the first thing. Decide that you're going to train. You cannot drift into spiritual training. You must decide to train. 15 months ago, I decided I wanted to get in shape physically. I knew it wasn't going to happen by just sitting in the recliner and watching TV all night long and eat what I want to eat whenever I want to eat it. I had to make a decision to get out of the recliner and do something about it. I was not going to drift into being healthier. You're not going to drift into being spiritually disciplined. It's a choice you have to make. You have to spend time in the Word, and you have to spend time with the Father. If I'm going to grow spiritually, it doesn't happen by accident. It's from intentionality. So here's what you need to do next. Get a workout plan. If you go to a gym and you say, hey, I want to join the gym, what are they going to do? They're going to say, well, what are your goals? What's your plan? They're going to find out a plan that works for you. It's a billion-dollar business. And the very first thing they do is they give you a schedule, they give you a plan, and they say, what do you want to do? What's your goals? You know? So, get a plan. Mike does this every year for us, puts out the Bible reading plans. They're at the Welcome Center. There's probably some over there right now. Even though nothing else is happening over there, I think we got the Bible reading plans over there. Go get one. Find one online. Get in the Word every single day. Take time for it. Take time to pray. Huh? You got to talk to God. Think about this for a moment. If you and your spouse or you and a good friend just stopped communicating, what would your relationship be like? It'd kill it, wouldn't it? If you just didn't talk ever? It wouldn't matter if you were still nice to each other or not. No? It wouldn't matter if once a week you got together and you had a nice, you know, conversation for about an hour or so. Or, you know, what kind of a relationship would it be if that's all you had? God wants to visit with you. He wants to talk with you every single day. And communication is vital in any relationship. And God wants the same thing from us. No. If you don't do that, just think about it. If Stacy and I only talked for one hour a week on Sunday morning, people would look at us as we're walking down the street and they'd say, there goes one messed up couple. You might say that already. I don't know. I don't think so. But seriously, if that was what we had, it'd be a mess. Our relationship would be a train wreck. But yet we somehow think that our relationship with God can be what it needs to be by just meeting with Him one time a week. God's calling us to a higher standard. Here's the third thing. Get some workout buddies. The spiritual word for this is accountability. Christianity was never meant to be an individual experience. It's something that we do together. Disciples can only become disciples by being discipled by someone else. Okay? And then take a first step. You got to take that step. You got to decide. Take a step of faith. And when you take that step of faith, the more your faith is going to grow. That's why Jesus said faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. Because when you take that first step of faith, that mustard seed faith doesn't stay mustard seed size very long. Your faith grows and it becomes bigger. And the more you trust Him, the more He comes through and shows Himself even more, and the more you grow. So here's a few first faith steps that maybe I think some of you need to take as we begin to wrap up. I'm going to ask our worship team to go ahead and come on out. Here's what I want you to consider. Number one, confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. If you've not done that, you need to do that, and you need to be baptized into Him. That's where it starts. If you haven't done that, I encourage you. I cannot encourage you enough to do that. Start reading your Bible on your own every single day at some point. I recommend doing it in the morning, because if you put it off, the busyness of the day, you just kind of put it off and you put it off and you put it off and it never gets done. Start reading the Bible on your own. Set aside several minutes to pray every single day. I recommend in the morning when you're doing your Bible study as well. Works out great that way. Start tithing. If you're not a tither, let God stretch you in that area. You say, well, I just can't do that right now. Okay, well, just whatever you're doing right now, just try to improve a little bit more than where you're at right now. Trust God in that. Invite a friend to church. Invite them to church. You say, well, we don't have a place for them. If we get more people in here, we might shut down or something like that. You know? Invite them. Just see what happens. Let the Lord take care of that. Get them here. Or say, listen, watch it online. If you can't get them here, tell them, just watch it online. And then when things get back to whatever normal's going to be, we'll get them in the church building. We'll try to disciple them as best as we can. And then the last thing, and this is the biggest thing, I think. This is a step that I think goes unseen sometimes. And we've got to move from got to get to. Move from got to get to. God's ultimate goal is not that you would just obey Him, but that you would love Him. And obedience would just be a natural overflow of your love for Him. God's the only one that can do this transformational work within you. This transformational work that says, I'm so blown away, God, by what You've done in my life, how You've transformed me from this to this. I'm so blown away by that. My only response is to live for You. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, some translations say the author and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Our ultimate inspiration needs to be Jesus Christ. It has to start with Him. It's not just some arbitrary line where we're moving toward maturity. It's about moving toward a person. It's about moving toward Jesus. And when we're really going to start to see this become evident in our lives is when we get this, I got to do this, to I get to do. When we move from this mindset of I have to do this to this mindset of I get to do this, it changes everything. God wants you to grow. Stop trying so hard. Start training. And allow God to move your pursuit of Him from something you've got to do into something you get to do. And if there's someone here today that needs to make any of those first step decisions, we encourage you to come. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and we're going to sing a song of decision. And I'm going to ask if John Padfield would make himself available to meet with someone down at the front as I go back up and help lead this song. But as we sing this song of decision, understand that God loves you just as you are. But He doesn't want you to stay that way. He wants you to grow. He wants you to come, and He wants you to be the person that He created you to be. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for Your love and for Your grace. I thank You that You love us enough to not leave us the way that we are. And Lord, I pray that everyone in this room today would take these encouraging words from the writer of Hebrews and let them fuel us to move beyond where we are in our journey with You to something greater, something deeper, something more mature. Jesus, we love You and we thank You for what You've done for us at Calvary and what You continue to do for us seated at the right hand of Your Father. We pray this all in Your precious name, Jesus. Amen.